It is 7:31, time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Holly Jacobson and Jason Aaron Osgood. Holly Jacobson is co-director of Voter Action, and Jason Aaron Osgood is with Washington Citizens for Fair Elections, and we're going to be talking about that very concept, fair elections. So, Holly and Jason, thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
Good morning.
Let's begin with a description of your organizations. Holly, maybe you can tell us a little bit about Voter Action.
Sure. Voter Action is a nonprofit advocacy group focused on election integrity issues. We help outreach and education, and also we litigate. So we help citizens block bad election decisions and take back their elections and bring elections back into the public domain. And we're doing that. We did that in New Mexico. We're also working in California, Arizona, Colorado, New York, and we're actively considering some other states, including my own state, Washington.
Very good. And Jason, Washington Citizens for Fair Elections.
It's a group of election integrity activists. We got started last September down in Portland, Oregon. And most of us are Dems and computer geeks. And our slogan is fair, open, and verifiable elections. We're a nonpartisan group, and we've primarily been organizing, educating, finding our allies, and most recently, we've been opposing forced mail voting in King County. And that's it.
All right. Well, maybe we could start with an overview of what currently is happening nationally, kind of give us a flavor for where the problems lie.
Sure. Well, in 2002, the Help America Vote Act was enacted, and kind of in response to the Florida election debacle of 2000 and all the concern over hanging chads, et cetera. But and HAVA was, as it's commonly called, was enacted to make elections more secure and reliable. And unfortunately, through a series of bad decisions and timing events and some strong lobbying on behalf of the voting machine manufacturers, HAVA has been essentially turned on its head. And what I mean by that is that we're looking at a setup for this November election that is, we're going to have one of the riskiest elections and probably one of the most chaotic elections we've seen yet, unless we can do some things to stop it now. HAVA basically promoted the purchase of electronic voting systems and mandated one accessible voting system per polling location. But through some lobbying efforts, there was some confusion. There was language written in HAVA that basically made it seem that the answer for disability accessible voting was DREs, electronic voting. In fact, that's not the case. So our group is basically trying to block the purchase of electronic voting systems in a variety of states, particularly swing states and large population centers, because these systems are untrustworthy, unreliable, and don't even make accommodations for the majority of disabilities for which they're being purchased.
And I believe I caught some of that in a USA Today article that you guys made front and center on that for your efforts in, where was that?
Well, we made Above the Fold on USA Today. That was fun. And we've been getting a lot of press lately because we are looking at this giant crisis. I mean, the debate over electronic voting is, and whether electronic voting is secure and reliable is over. All the computer security experts mm-hmm. agree that it's a bad idea, and there's no way you can make it secure, really. You can't retrofit security on electronic voting systems. The USA Today article you're referring to was right after we filed a lawsuit in Colorado. Our most ambitious yet, we're filing against four electronic voting, to block the usage of four electronic voting systems, Diebold, ES&S, Sequoia, and HART.
And they were moving forward? Colorado was moving forward with acquiring all four of those?
Yeah, that's correct. And I mean, many states are moving forward with electronic voting. And the problem with electronic voting, Mike, is that is that it's a virtual ballot. The ballot exists on electronic data. They're called direct recording electronic, and that means that the ballot is you directly record your voting choices on an electronic ballot, and it can't be verified. Even with a voter verifiable paper audit trail, it can't be truly verified, because the voter verifiable paper audit trail and what the actual ballot is can often be two different things. We have many instances of switched votes, massive vote loss, and when I mean massive vote loss, we're talking about tens of thousands of votes, 32,000 in one state, 22,000 in another. Now, we know elections are won and lost in the margins, and you know, when you have vote loss, irretrievable vote loss of 20,000, that's a problem. You have irretrievable vote loss of one, we consider that a problem. We believe everyone's vote should be able to be counted.
So, and my understanding is it's all these private corporations that are producing these machines. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're producing the hardware, the firmware, the software that runs the elections. Often they do the ballot programming, all the ballot selections. They also, now with electronic voting, not only is it massively insecure and unreliable, but it's also a lot more expensive, because they also have to the vendors do the service contracts to fix the machines on election day, because they break down a lot. And so it's the vendors who are running around fixing the election, the machines, sorry. on election day, they have to be stored in temperature-controlled facilities. So, yeah, the vendors are controlling a large part of our election process, including also registration databases. Mm-hmm. The voter registration databases are being privatized. So we're looking at pretty much a wholesale privatization of our election system.
All right. Recently, I believe Snohomish County is getting rid of their machines because they're going to all mail-in ballots, and that was hailed as a good thing, that mail-in ballots are they're not electronic, they're pieces of paper that people can hold on to, you get to keep a copy. And I know just recently as well that King County has said they're going to all mail-in ballots. And again, people are hailing that as a good thing. Do you guys see that as a solution here to the electronic boxes?
Well, I think we need to qualify what we mean when we say people are hailing that as a good thing. Because most of the people I've spoken to don't think that's a good thing. I mean, the people on the street, voters. I know that the King County Council was split on it. I know they were split down partisan lines. I'm a precinct committee officer in my precinct here in Seattle, and I don't think it's a good thing. Jason, you might have a few other things to say about it.
With regards to Snohomish County, going from the DREs, the Sequoia machines that they had that failed in the 2004 election, all-mail balloting might be an improvement in election integrity. You know, these things need to be weighed against each other. But in King County, going from our current voter-correctable precinct-based optical scanners to forced mail voting, it's a decrease in election integrity. And so I'm dead set against it.
And Motor Action doesn't have a firm position on all mail-in balloting, but we have some serious concerns about it. And the concerns really center around the fact that as our elections become more privatized, really more and more, we have no assurance of or controls about what's happening at the precinct level. And it's really important, we believe, we do have a firm position that we believe that elections belong to citizens, and that citizens need to take a more active role in elections. And if we take away our polling locations for citizens, or only offer electronic voting systems, and what we're offering in King County apparently are Diebold electronic voting machines,
exactly.
Diebold touchscreens, which have been documented as and some of the worst out there with for security and hackability. We have a real problem. We're not giving voters a choice, and we're not allowing them to take part and find out what's going on in their precinct, and we're removing citizen oversight at a time when I believe we need more citizen oversight and involvement.
I agree. The poll sites provide a backup solution. It's a fallback, a fail-safe. Most of the provisional ballots that are issued are to mail ballot or absentee voters. They're to replace mail ballots. And without the poll sites, where would those people vote? in 2005, an off-season election, it was, I believe, 45,000 provisional ballots were issued. So if they're going to have these mega poll sites that they're planning, the King County Council, between 9 and 20, how are they going to fit 45,000 people through the poll sites? You know, we need our current poll sites.
And just kind of going back to the privatization point a bit, too, I mentioned that the voter registration databases are becoming privatized. And in Los Angeles, they had a test of the voter registration database for a special election, and 40% of the registered voters were ineligible to vote. Again, we're talking about private companies creating the databases, and public oversight is at a minimum. So you have a situation where you may not be on the voter rolls, and you may not know that. But you know that if you go into your polling location.
Yes.
And the precinct judge there usually knows you because they're neighborhood-based. And another idea, too, is that when we started out our work on voter action, we started in New Mexico, and we were able to really do good comparative analysis because they had really good precinct-by-precinct data that we could compare. And that gave us information to say, there's a problem here. And we were able to pinpoint the problems.
40% for one area, and that's of registered voters?
That's what I heard in Los Angeles County.
Because my understanding is there isn't a heck of a lot of, percentage-wise, there aren't a lot of people who are registered voters to begin with. And then if you eliminate 40%, you're really trimming that down to just, you know, the almost single digits in terms of percentile of the populace that would be eligible to vote.
Well, it's a massive problem. I mean, 10%, 5% would be a massive problem. Again, we believe that every citizen has a right to vote and have their vote counted.
In Washington State, the Secretary of State's office made, I believe, the correct decision in bringing the voter registration database system in-house. It's run by our government instead of outsourced entirely. However, the four largest counties still have their own proprietary vendor-supplied voter registration databases. And so we've been trying to understand how these systems interact with each other. And there's concerns for vote fraud and election fraud. With election fraud, you could have like caging lists and remove people from the database like they did in Florida. And it's not clear to me that those safeguards are in place in Washington State. Also, the Secretary of State's office rules for matching people's identity to the DMV records appear very draconian and could potentially keep people off of the voter registration database. So these are concerns in Washington State as well.
Define what caging lists are.
That's when you try to contact people, and if they give you a negative response, like no certified letter doesn't come back or some such, they go through the data, voter registration database, try and contact everyone, and anyone who doesn't come back, then they challenge them, and you know, presumably to bump them off the voting rolls.
Okay. I want to get back to, for a minute anyway, if we could, the whole concept of what you see wrong with mail-in ballots. Because on the surface, it seems like it should be an easy, no-brainer thing. Everybody gets mailed an envelope or whatever, piece of paper, and then you send it back in, and they count it. And then if you want to keep track of that, I guess, as citizens, you can go and watch them counting this somewhere, right?
Yeah, at a central repository at the county level, again. Precinct-based, I mean, our position at Voter Action is that the best, most secure and reliable voting system is optically scanned paper ballots at the precinct level. And we're not alone in that thought. David Dill, computer security professor from Stanford University, who we work with, also believes that. Professor Avi Rubin from Johns Hopkins believes that. And again, it's so you can have those control levels and see if your ballot is spit out by the scanner or not. And see what the totals are for your precinct and be closer to that and know whether that makes sense or not, or whether there's something funny going on. So Voter Action's position is that you need as much transparency and as much citizen involvement as possible. Jason, do you have anything to add to that first?
Certainly. This nice lady gave me the phrasing or framing private voting, public counting. In Washington State, those are in our Constitution, a secret ballot, which is private voting, and public counting, which is the public vote count. And so when we go to vendor-supplied elections, privatized elections, we lose the public vote count. That's a secret vote count. And so we've lost one half of what makes our democracy work. And then if we go to forced mail voting, everybody loses their secret ballot. So no one can vote in private anymore. And so removing those two things, what do you have left? You know, what is the democracy? So that's the very highest level. The levels down from that, where I got started in election integrity is I'm a computer geek. And the touchscreen voting systems, they cannot be secure. It's technically impossible to make them preserve both the secret ballot and the public vote count. It's not possible. And so with the forced mail voting, we would have the touchscreen voting systems for the poll sites and then the central count optical scanners for the central count. And that is also vendor-supplied software that is not certified, is not tested, and cannot be observed. And so that's the second level down. And I'll break at that.
So would a solution be if the software were supplied by citizens somehow, or was like open software?
Yeah, we're not there yet. There's not an open source software solution available, widely available yet, but they're working on it. So in the interim, we need as much public oversight as possible. And I don't think that this whole mail-in, all forced mail-in voting in King County and Diebold touchscreen machines have been brought to the public here. So going back to your statement about people think it's a good idea, I'm wondering which people think it's a good idea. Because the people I've spoken to on the street don't think it's a good idea. Of course, it's awkward for me because I've been running around the country in New Mexico, New York, California, Arizona, and Colorado working on election integrity. And in my own backyard, as Jason was saying, we have problems. And so we're going to be taking a harder look at Washington State because it factors into this national crisis we're facing this year in 2006, brought about by HAVA and all this money that was poured in and has been largely spent on electronic voting systems. There are, Mike, though, it's important to point out, there are solutions. There are solutions, and many states are going towards those solutions. In New Mexico, where we filed a lawsuit a year and a half ago, that came to a positive conclusion. Now New Mexico is an all optically scanned paper ballot state at the precinct level. They passed legislation in March making New Mexico an all paper ballot state. Other states and counties are also choosing all paper ballot, optically scanned paper ballots at the counted at the precinct level, and using ballot marking devices for the disabled. And some of the ballot marking devices out there actually accommodate a much wider range of disabilities than the touchscreen voting systems.
I would like to thank Holly Jacobson and Voter Action for their efforts in New Mexico and nationally. It's encouraging to know that there are groups that are fighting the good fight on election integrity. Thank you.
Yeah, well, Jason's holding down the home fort locally, too. So.
The optically scanned paper ballots, are there any problems with those at all?
Absolutely. We're still talking about privatized, proprietary, secret software counting the votes. The difference is that you have a real ballot with the voter's true intention that you can go back and recount. And here in Washington State, and I use this example nationally when I'm speaking, we have a different governor because we were able to go back and recount ballots. The initial scan counts came out different. And so that's the difference, is that you actually have real ballots of the voter's true intention that you can always go back and do audits. Because it's not really a technology issue so much as a security and verifiability and audit issue. We need to audit our elections in very open and transparent ways to know that who's winning is winning correctly, because we can't trust machines in this respect. And also, so voters have confidence, and the winners and losers of those elections have confidence.
A lady in our group, the local group, Fair Elections Group, Julie Pettengill, says regarding forced mail voting is that it's not being done on behalf of the voters for our convenience. We weren't consulted. It's being done for the elections office. because with mail balloting, it's easier to hide problems. It's easier to coordinate. You know, it's for their benefit, not ours.
I'm glad you brought that up, Jason, because the we encounter a lot of resistance from the counties and states that we're working in. And I was speaking to a reporter from the New York Times, and she said, everything you're presenting is so compelling. What's the deal? Is it just, you know, cheaper to go electronic voting, or why are the states and counties so committed to that? And again, not all are, but many, many are. And the reason, I think, there's a couple of reasons. One is because, like Jason's saying, elections officials have a lot of work to do, and elections are exhausting.
Tough job.
And what they want are smooth elections. And audits and recounts, you know, after an exhausting election, don't allow anyone to go home and go to bed, necessarily. The work's not over. Additionally, the elections officials have been courted for a long time by the voting machine vendors, and often that's a place for them to go after their terms are over. They go back to the voting machine. They're employed by the voting machine vendors. And we see instances of this across the country as well. The voting machine vendors pay for their state and county organizations, their breakfasts. They are the major sponsors of those organizations, you know, the cruises down the Potomac, the trip to Hawaii, et cetera. I mean, this is America. This is how business is done. The question is this really the way we want to run our democracy?
I would like to also point out that the corporations pay for the certification of their own gear.
Another really good point. You often hear from elections officials that, well, it's been certified and tested, you know, these systems are secure. Well, in fact, it's been certified by what they call independent testing authorities. Sounds official. But independent testing authorities are really private labs whose clients are the vendors. The vendors pay for these private labs to test their equipment. Private labs are under no obligation to share the information of what they find on the software. As a matter of fact, they insist that they don't. It's up to the vendor whether it's okay to share that information. And they don't catch things. Recently, there have been two widely publicized Diebold security holes so bad that Professor Avi Rubin from Johns Hopkins says when he saw the most recent one, it was so bad it almost gave him a heart attack. Diebold's known about this, and some election officials have known about this for over 2 years. We have proof of that. But the ITAs, the independent testing authorities, that are the only thing nationally to certify these systems, did not catch those gaping security holes that allow essentially Diebold touchscreen machines and Diebold machines to be tampered with at three levels in a completely untraceable way and in a viral way infecting other machines.
A small group of us local activists attended the hearings down in Olympia January 20th for the certification of the Diebold touchscreen and optical scanner and the Hart InterCivic dial-a-vote and optical scanner. And the concerns, objections, and detail that we raised about the security, that the machines do not meet the HAVA requirements, and both for reliability and accessibility, and that at least the Diebold machine violates some of the rules, such as using interpreted code, which means that you can change how it runs up to the last minute, which is kind of a bad idea. All of these things...
During
an election.
Or after an election.
Before, during, and after. These were pointed out. The Office of the Secretary of State acknowledged these concerns and then certified the machines regardless.
And often what you'll hear is that they have security measures. In fact, some of the security measures include little adhesive stickies. That's the security tape.
Foiled again.
Or plastic security ties that you can buy for 5 cents over the internet.
Yes.
Yeah, I've read that as well, where there's cases of technicians from the company that will show up out of the blue to make a modification to the machines literally during elections, the night before, and the officials that are there or at the polling places have no idea what these people are doing.
Well, right, and going back to, you know, what we were talking about earlier, how it's the vendors who are servicing the machines during the election because they're breaking down or malfunctioning, And so there's, and the Carter Baker report talks about how there's insider fraud in every industry. Mm-hmm. And elections, there's always been a history of fraud. And so the elections industry should be no different. But the access that the vendors have to these systems is really pretty frightening, the unfettered access that they have to the systems. In New Mexico, there was we found evidence of they lost 13,000 votes in a national race in 2002 from one of these systems, and had no way to retrieve those votes. So, and they were about to certify the election, and one of the candidates' representatives said, "Wait, there's something wrong." And the vendor in Sequoia, in that case, said, "Well, yeah, we know about this problem. It's happened to other states." And they said, "Well, why didn't you tell us about it?" And he said, "Oh, well, you know, whatever." So they took the cartridge with the missing votes up to, without, not being unaccompanied by any elections official from New Mexico, and took it up to their headquarters, the company headquarters in Denver, to, quote-unquote, recreate the election. And we have testimony that shows we have testimony from the vendor that sells Sequoia in that state that says he has no faith or proof that those votes were recreated as originally intended or cast. How could they be?
All right, quickly, so give me a summation. Where are we in terms of our fair elections? Your group's having a lot of success nationally. How far do we got to go?
We're having a lot of success nationally, but it's a pitched battle right now. And really, every citizen needs to become engaged in elections right now. It's not something we can really rely on someone else to do. And I mean, I'm a soccer mom from Seattle. So that's how I got into it, is I thought, wow, that's a really bad idea. But I joined computer security professors and election law specialists across the country. But we need everyone's help in this battle. You can go to www.voteraction.org and join us, sign up, and get your friends to become engaged here nationally through Washington's for Citizens for Fair Elections. They have activities, and Jason can give you that URL.
It's wafairelections.org.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
Just been talking with Holly Jacobson and Jason Aaron Osgood. Holly Jacobson, the co-director of Voter Action, and Jason Aaron Osgood with Washington Citizens for Fair Elections.